Just a quick note, we're thankful for Tara, and she gets to lead a life of a split personality for a little while, playing and conducting and conducting and playing, while Don is convalescing. Don Ziegel had his bypass operation on Friday and came through well. I didn't get to see him, but I got to visit with Gay and with Barb and some folks that were there. And I got a great picture of Don sitting up in a chair later on Friday. And so he's just like himself, smiling and improving. So our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. And we're thankful for Tara and for all our musicians. We turn to another passage from Philippians, a short one this week, just three verses. It's on that insert. Sort of an eclectic translation today. Listen now for a word from God as it comes to us from Philippians. As for the rest, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write these same things to you isn't irksome for me, but it's a safeguard for you. Beware of dogs. Beware of evildoers. Beware of mutilators of the flesh. For we are the circumcision, ones by the Spirit of God who worship and boast in Christ Jesus and not in the flesh. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, joy is a big theme in Philippians. Joy or rejoice happens 16 different times in Philippians. And if you went and underlined it like I did, I'm not sure why I did it in red, but it sort of looks like it got wounded or something. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy. Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. I rejoice and share my joy with all of you, he says. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. And today, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. And later he'll say more, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I saw something this week that made me think that maybe, even though I feel like I've talked about joy a lot, maybe I should talk about it again. Let me show you this slide. I saw this. Now, I think this has actually won some advertising awards. I guess, you know, I just sat there and I was kind of dumbfounded by it for a while. And I thought, well, I guess the only thing I can think to say is that, you know, if Coca-Cola had an ad campaign like Open Happiness, the folks at Pepsi sat around and go, what's better than happiness? We got anything? Joy? There's an O? I know what I can do with an O, and they did this. So I don't know if when you see this you think Pepsi or if you think you know, some sort of an airline, but that's joy. And then that made me think, what other advertisements have been trying to hornswoggle joy? And so here's one. I like this one. Now, I'm not a German scholar. This is a BMW ad, but it says, I believe, underneath, joy is limitless beauty. Okay, I liked it better in German, but there you have it. Here's another one. Now joy is a smartphone, it says. Well, a lot of people have used smartphones, and joy is probably not a word that they have said, but it's not just modern advertisements. There's some older ones. Here's one from, I think this is a print ad for Almond Joy. Almond Joy. It's even in the name of the candy bar, right? Now, we have all probably had an Almond Joy, or maybe you will in the next week because I mentioned it, but I have felt many existential states of being while eating an Almond Joy. Joy has never been one of them. Regret. Regret has been a big one, wishing that I'd bought a Mounds. But anyway, the best one, though, here's the best one. Cigarettes of joy. They cure asthma. That's an old one. You know, there are no words. There are no words. When I think about the people that their job is to come up with this stuff, I don't think that they're Machiavellian. They're not evil. They're doing a job. But when I'm at my most kind of positive thinking about these folks, I'm trying to get into their heads, like, what are they thinking, right? And all I can come up with is that these folks are getting in touch with something true about humanity, that we have within us a lack, a hole, a void. There's something missing. And it's our fault, but there's something missing, and we're looking to fill that hole and that void. And so these advertisers do their job and try to give us stuff that will fill the void, because they think that it might be the same stuff that would fill their void. And that's what they're doing. Let me show you another picture. This is a picture of Paul Tillich, a theologian who is dead. And thank you, good job. And so your 50 cents can be collected on the way out. And so Paul Tillich is a Lutheran theologian, a German, and he would have understand that, stood that ad in German. But a Lutheran theologian, and he worked around World War II time, and I believe he passed away in 1968, on the cover of Time magazine. And he talked about this void that we have. He talked about it in a different way, though. He talked about estrangement. He said, we are estranged from God, separated from God. Not in the sense that God lives in Washington State and we're here in Florida. Not that kind of separation. But it's an existential separation. It's an estrangement. We turn from God in unbelief. We turn away from God. He said if there was a word in English that was unfaith, that would be what this is. But instead, there's unbelief. We turn away from God. And we turn to ourselves. It's pride. It's hubris, he said. We turn to ourselves. We make ourselves God. We crown ourselves. We sing hymns to ourselves. To me be the glory, great things I have done. Right? We look to us. We turn from God and we turn to ourselves. And in the final move of sin, we turn to things in the world to fill that void that we've created by turning from God and turning to ourselves. We now turn to things. We turn to cars and cell phones and food. And we turn to power and money and sex. The word is concupiscence, which I love that word. And I've always associated that word with ice cream. I'm not sure why, but the concupiscence of cream, that this idea that Tillich says where we want to pull all of material reality toward ourselves and stuff it in there to fill that hole and that void that can never be filled by stuff. That's what Tillich is talking about. But the gospel offers us good news. The gospel offers us good news today. Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Your essential state, your ground, your bedrock, your default setting is this: rejoice in the Lord. And don't rely on what you can do. Don't rely on what you're able to accomplish yourself. The situation in Philippi is one where Paul wants to safeguard the people. He uses that word. It's not that they had an imminent threat right there on their faith, but Paul is aware that they would have heard something like this. Yes, it's good to rejoice in the Lord, for it says in the Scriptures, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It says that, and it's good to rejoice in the Lord. But let's not forget to do what our mothers and fathers did before us. Let's keep up the traditions. Let's keep up circumcision. Let's keep up our Torah observance. We can rejoice in the Lord, but we can do all this other stuff too. That drove Paul nuts. It drove him crazy, I think. I mean, he had lost his eyesight almost totally, and now he had these various thorns to deal with. And at one point in Galatians, I mean, Paul completely loses all political correctness and says, if you are circumcised, Christ is of no value to you. Ooh, nope, really? Nope, no value? None? Maybe take a nap. Have a Mounds. Relax a little bit. No value? Well, he probably didn't mean no value. But if we don't rest in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, trust fully in what God does in Christ, but instead we rely a little bit on what we can do, that erodes that rejoicing, that erodes that trust, that erodes that faith. I like the way Eugene Peterson says it. He's really able sometimes to bring out the nuances in the scriptures. And this is how Eugene Peterson renders just those three verses from today in his Message translation, which is a translation of the Bible into American. So he says, that's about it, friends. It's very colloquial, isn't it? That's about it, friends. Be glad in God. I don't mind repeating what I have written in earlier letters, and I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry, so here goes. Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies. All bark and no bite. All they're interested in is appearances. Knife-happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. I like how Eugene is able to highlight what Paul is doing. It all happens in that third verse. We praise Christ. We rest in Him. We trust in Him. We don't trust on our own understanding. We rejoice in the Lord. We lay back in that. We don't look to the traditions of the past. We don't look to the rituals. We don't look to what we can do or what we're capable of. We know what we're like. We know that we live our lives at a distance from who we're called to be, oftentimes. We turn from God, we turn to ourselves, we turn to stuff. We know that. So we strive to rejoice in the Lord and make that our default setting, not something else. When we were up in Louisville, when we were on a little wee vacation there, I went into a bookstore. Oh, dangerous, dangerous. And I only bought one book, and it was even less than $10. Here's a picture of the book, the Mammoth Book of Street Art, because I feel that I've somehow missed my vocation as a graffiti artist, and so this is a healthy way for me to live out that outlet, you know, without being arrested. And so this Mammoth Book of Street Art is filled with over 50 different street artists and lots of examples of their work. Let me show you one. This is from a French guy called Invader. And this is what he does. If you can make it out, I can describe it to you. He makes mosaics. Those are little tiles that he's stuck. I don't know how. He must get up very early in the morning to do this in France, to stick these little tiles together to make a design of like a space invader from the game, arcade game from the 80s. And he kind of does this around Paris, but around lots of cities in Europe and the whole world. And here's another one. This is from a pretty famous graffiti artist, a street artist named Banksy. And he does some stuff with images and some stuff with writing. But this says, I remember when all this was trees. He's kind of got an interesting voice. That's a very conservative expression, despite the fact that he's defaced public property to do it. Here's another one that he did probably pretty quickly. The joy of not being sold anything. It was a blank billboard in England, and he said, this is an opportunity. And so the joy of not being sold anything. And the aesthetics here, you know, it's not right across the very center. It's in the bottom half. slightly off a little bit. It's very interesting. I got to think about this for us. What would it be like for us to advertise joy? What would it be like for us, to graffiti joy in the world? I think as Christians, we have more in common with graffiti artists than advertisers. I think about that. Because we go out into the world and we can rejoice in the Lord and we can show that to people. We can put that out into a world that's not that interested in having too much joy. They really like fear, big time. Fear is their diet. If you want fear, you can get as much as you want, right? But we need to graffiti, to tag, to throw up big murals of joy into the world. That's what we need to be doing. Tag joy this week somewhere. Spray joy somewhere where it isn't, where you see ugliness. It might not, at first, it might not be welcomed. But like this picture here, it's maybe not beautiful. Maybe beauty isn't the word, but it had to be better than what was there before. Friends, our joy that we can offer the world is, it's always shared. Joy is always we and never me. Joy is always in the Lord. Sometimes we feel happy, sometimes we feel sad, sometimes we feel afraid. But joy is more than emotion. Joy is deep, just like our connection with Christ is deep. We have this joy in the Lord. And thirdly, joy, we want to remember, is always about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that you and I can announce when we graffiti joy in the world. When you and I graffiti joy in the world, when we advertise it like that, I feel confident it will be limitless beauty. Amen.